This is Alan Nathan of Radio America sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily. On August 20th, Afghanistan has its national elections and current President Hamid Karzai goes up against 40 candidates seeking his job. Once the odds-on favorite, polls show that his lead has dropped and he is far more vulnerable than originally anticipated. Chief reason for the change is attributable to Afghanistan's once-thriving opium production getting reduced by 95%. While this reduction has triggered great praise from governments around the world, fewer accolades are heard from its own populace. The reason? Where there was once a poppy-booming economy, rural communities are now re-experiencing an impact that is not of their liking. A level of impoverishment once thought of as forever gone. What impact will this have? To help understand more, we have with us today two experts, Elizabeth Gould and Paul Fitzgerald, author of Invisible History, Afghanistan's Untold Story. Elizabeth, Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having us, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
Elizabeth, first to you, it seems we can't win for losing. First, we're told that the real measure for success in Afghanistan is the removal of their poppy trade. Now there's been a 95% reduction in their opium production. We're witnessing the still new and fragile government in danger of becoming a victim of its own success. How do you see things working out here?
Well, this actually is really very consistent with the problem that really originated in 2001, when the United States first went into Afghanistan and took the position that when the Taliban faded away, that we had won the war and the Taliban were gone. You know, a whole host of things began to happen, and it included a huge amount of resources were put in for reconstruction that never hit the ground. It included a lot of people who were very concerned at the time, knowing that without serious economic development, without serious civil society development, without really bringing stability and, most important, genuine security to these areas, the Taliban were going to return. Well, I think this is just a continuing example of high-minded ideas that get implemented and that there is not a proper follow-through, the whole, you know, line of events that really need to be nailed down for success.
Well, originally, we were thought of as failures. I'll go to you on this one, Paul. Originally, we were thought of as failing because, despite our best efforts, for most of the time that we had been in Afghanistan, the poppy trade was booming, and it was proving to be quite injurious to our overall military goals. We found that the Taliban was holding families hostage to their demands that poppy be produced so they could use it as sort of a currency for perpetuating the very war we wanted to quash. And we were all told, look, if we could just abridge this poppy trade, we could turn the tide and bring about greater efficacy in hopes of returning to a more normalized functioning society. Now that we're having this success within our reach, again, a 95% reduction in their opium production, we're being told, wait a minute, this could now prove to be destabilizing to the very people we'd like to see remain in power. What's your assessment?
Well, this is very true. As Liz said, the whole issue with Afghanistan has been, for the last century, an issue of economy. You know, the British in the 19th century blockaded Afghanistan's eastern provinces, those areas that were 5/8 of what is now considered Pakistan, used to be Afghanistan. And those were some of the richest, fertile, most beneficial areas to the government in Kabul. Since that happened, they also cut off their access to the sea, to the Arabian Sea in the 19th century, and drew a line down the middle of the Hindu Kush and said, this is the British Empire, and you get to govern on the other side of the Hindu Kush. That's been an economic inhibitor, and it was kept in that kind of form during the British Empire, and following the end of the British Empire in 1947 when they established the state of Pakistan, that's what was established as well. Pakistan maintained that kind of rigid borderline where Afghanistan, if Afghanistan displeased it in any way, shape, or form, they wound up sealing the border off and preventing Afghanistan from sending its crops to market in India, as an example, so which was their largest market. So this is kind of an economic warfare that's been going on from the 19th century in order to keep Afghanistan kind of hemmed in and blockaded, and that process we're now living with. So, you know, the issue of drugs. With the roads gone, with no civil authority in charge, the only kind of income that a lot of these farmers could make since the destruction of the country at the end of the 1980s, the early 1990s, when the Soviets left, all you've got left is a very, very rural economy. And what's happened is that, you know, these tribal areas, the tribes have been broken down. It's turned into a warlord culture, and it's the only way these people can make a living. So to go in, I mean, Washington knows this sort of thing, and this is no surprise. To go in and take these people's livelihoods away and then not give them back an economy, the economy has been the number one issue from the very beginning.
Well, let me ask you, and I'll go to you on this one, Elizabeth, then back to Paul. Given that wheat and other food crops are replacing their poppy fields, is it possible that we're prematurely assuming too much gloom and doom? Do we perhaps just need to give the country a little longer as they continue growing more conventional food crops?
Well, there's no question that you know, time is definitely a potential ally in this, but this still needs to be a genuine assessment of what needs to be done. The lack of all the roadways being fixed, the lack of the power being, you know, restarted, these fundamentals still are not completely done. You have regions of the country that are a little bit more stable than other regions. You have some sections where they're not as close to the effects of the Taliban slipping over the border from Pakistan, so there's a little more security. But again, you really have to go back to the fact that the billions and billions and billions of dollars, in fact, I think one article referred to as the Afghan scam, that the actual hitting the ground, the reconstruction money, it still has never hit the ground. There also was a lot of focus on the corruption within the Karzai government and, you know, kind of giving the impression that, well, that's the problem. And once again, it really it diminishes the larger overarching problem of this. We're talking an international scam here, because that 90% of those billions of dollars never actually got into even the government of Karzai.
And the polls do indicate, all the polls that have been done in the last year indicate that wherever the security has been established and rebuilding can begin, then, you know, the resistance is absolutely is nil.
Without the removal of the poppy production, stability is not attainable, because that's when the Taliban flourishes most.
Well, I think, again, the problem we have to really look at is that it's much easier to actually create a drug economy. One of the issues you're dealing with is the issues. It's much more complex to create a food-based economy. The need to be able to move all those crops to market and to have a flow back and forth requires that there be a total coordinated development scheme for the entire country. So what you're really getting is, you know, pockets of stability, but within those little pockets, they're still disconnected from the larger country of Afghanistan. This is where the lack of a total visionary development scheme is really sorely missing.
I mean, certainly the objective is to stop the drugs from being grown. However, I mean, you can't just simply go into an economy that's it supplies 93% of the world's opium, and then go in and say, okay, you can't grow this anymore, and it's going to take 5 years in order to grow alternative crops. I mean, what are they going to do in the interim? You know, there are staged steps that could be undertaken here.
Isn't it also fair to say that the best laid plans often don't survive the encounter of the original challenge, and that still can't be a reason for not trying? I mean, we don't want the perfect to become the enemy of the good. We all agree that stability is most attainable when conventional food crops are grown, because that's what pushes the terrorists away. However, the downside, at least momentarily, is that when you go through conventional food crops, the economy that was otherwise more boisterous and booming and fiscally beneficial to its local populace is something that will diminish, but for only a temporary period of time. And the logic is that once the conventional food crops are truly able to supplant the poppy production in a fashion that allows people to still prosper, that is indeed when we have come upon the magical recipe for more permanent stability. Am I off base, Paul?
No, you're not off base. You're quite on base. The point is, though, that, you know, in the interim, what you've got is you've got a population that's been deprived of its income. And what you have to do is you have to stage that, and you have to provide the support for that population in the interim until they can get the economy up and running, until they can get the roads rebuilt into those areas, and until they can get the irrigation set up to do that. You see, all these markets, this entire process has been completely disrupted. And, of course, at the core of this is the security issue. The Taliban are going to go into these areas and say, look, you know, you can't feed your family with what they're offering you, and you can't be secure with what they're offering you. So we're going to do that that for you. And that's what the United States is up against. It's a very complicated issue. It requires being smart about the way in which U.S. force and NATO force is put in on the ground, but it also requires, and I think that General McChrystal is very well aware of the fact that this requires a social effort, a civic effort, and that almost has to exceed the military effort at this stage.
Can we give the United States at least some credit for helping bring about this 95% reduction of poppy production?
There's no question that goal was met, but once again, there's a lack of a total plan. This is the point, that you can't have these plans that basically just sort of end. This is like, you know, we're getting on a train in New York and you're supposed to go to Washington. You end up in Trenton. They forgot the track. Okay?
Elizabeth Gould and Paul Fitzgerald, author of Invisible History, Afghanistan's Untold Story. Elizabeth, Paul, thanks once again. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And once again, folks, this is Alan Nathan of Radio America sitting in for Greg Corumbus and reporting for WorldNet Daily.